This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We are beginning interviews with candidates in contested primaries for State House, Senate, and Congress in Southwest Michigan. Dave Buskirk is a longtime Kalamazoo County Commissioner. He's now seeking the Democratic nomination for State House in Michigan's 60th District that is currently represented by Democrat Sean McCann, who is running for State Senate. Dave Buskirk, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. It's enjoyable to be here, and I appreciate you having this time.
Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette is also joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Gordon.
And we'll begin, Dave Buskirk, by having you briefly introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us why you're running for State House.
Sure, Gordon. Thank you. Again, I am Dave Buskirk. I'm a 10-term county commissioner here in Kalamazoo County from the southeast side of the city. Millwood area is where I live. I am a lifelong resident of Kalamazoo, been here my whole life. I grew up in the Edison neighborhood. We knew it as Washington Square back then, and moved to the Millwood neighborhood when I got married. And I've got my wife, Tony, of 40 years, two lovely daughters, son-in-laws, and four grandchildren right now. As I said, I've been on the county board for 20 years. I'm a graduate of a local apprenticeship school here in town. So when it comes to education issues, I'm a strong proponent of not necessarily do you all have to go to a four-year college. I'm a product of what I consider a very good training facility and training program. I've been on the board serving as chair or vice chair for the last 10 years. So half of that time I've been in a leadership role, sharing those leadership roles with others on the board. So it's been a great time in my life moving through these last 20 years, but it started before that. It started about 25 years ago when the county had decided to consider extending the runway at the airport, and they had a curfew at the time, and they still do, by the way, of how the big, noisy, loud jets couldn't fly at certain times. And we garnered about 200 people in my front yard to talk about that, and that's how I got involved with politics starting about that long ago. And then I got appointed to the airport advisory board. And in fact, we encouraged the airport to have local residents from neighborhoods, both in Portage and Kalamazoo, as appointees on that board at the time. And then from that, when the county board seat came open, I decided to run for it.
Okay. Let's get to some questions. Yvonne, first one for Dave Buskirk.
So you've been a county commissioner since 1995. What's inspiring you to throw your hat in the ring for the State House?
Well, first of all, I am retired now from the electrical industry, semi-retired. And not only do I have the time, but I think it's everybody's, and I know this is a cliche everybody uses, but it's everybody's responsibility to buy into your community and serve your community and pay it back as well as you can. And this was a natural fit for me. The constituents have placed me in the position I'm in for the last 20 years because they trust me. And I think there's a lot of that leadership capability and trust that I can take to Lansing and from day one start working together with people I already know in Lansing. And the learning curve perhaps is not quite as long. We do know a lot of people in Lansing and have worked closely with some on some issues. But the one that comes to mind is I actually worked with our couple of state reps on when they passed the tattoo ordinance regarding licensing of tattoo parlors. And then we had to go back and convince the state that they needed to send the money back here and not keep it in the state. So I guess that's a lot of it, why I want to run. I think perhaps, you know, we need good policy in Lansing. We don't need rushed policy. We need policies to retain and create jobs. And, of course, we need policies that support our education funding, whether it's pre-K, K through 12, or higher ed, like here at Western. And I also want to focus on issues that are going to positively impact the least fortunate of our communities, and that being the seniors and the less fortunate, the lower income people. So, and the one thing that everybody wants to work on is our roads and our infrastructure. So,
well, we'll get to roads in a moment.
Sure.
I want to ask you, though, I should note as I ask this question, we're speaking on May 27th, and today the House passed a version of a bill that would increase the minimum wage, not as much as the Senate bill would. And, of course, the Senate bill is less than what the ballot proposal would raise it. What would you like to see done with the minimum wage? How much should it go up?
Well, the minimum wage should go up, obviously. If the House version is Representative O'Brien's version, that what that does is that leaves in place the current minimum wage law that's there now. I think the Senate version or the Speaker's version, if it was Jace Bolger's version, it repealed that law and started over from scratch. So,
which nullifies the ballot proposal.
Well, it does in effect nullify it. Yeah, you can't have a referendum on a law that isn't there anymore. That's, I think, the theory. More than likely, in the heart of my hearts, I bet that that'd be end up in front of a judge somewhere before they made that final decision. But I'm not sure which version. Did it pass today, you're telling me?
Passed the House.
Was that Margaret's version?
I believe so. I just saw a headline that said it passed the House.
Okay, so what eight, that...
But $8.50 right. an hour, basically.
$8.50 an hour, yeah. It's good. It's hard to say, no, don't vote for that because it does increase it. It probably doesn't go quite far enough. And I think a unified version of that where a committee sits down and talks about the differences between the two rather than just throwing quick solutions out there would be best. Yes, it has to go up. It has to go up sometime. But there's a lot of implications to the Senate version and Jace Bolger's version that affect tipped workers and everything else. So,
would you prefer what the Senate has proposed at $9.20 an hour for the minimum wage?
No, not at this time, because that did something to something I'm not real familiar with, the tip exemption.
Okay, but I'm just saying that particular wage.
That wage,
is that a better deal?
That's a better deal.
Do you think $10.10 an hour is where it should be, which is what the ballot proposal calls for?
I support the ballot proposal. Okay, but there's some issues with the ballot proposal, and this is where it gets back to. You got to be able to work together on things, and they're not doing that. They're throwing different things out there that are. If the ballot proposal at 10-10 is a good thing, but it affects those tipped workers and the owners of those establishments in a negative way. I support it, 10-10, but in reality, you have to be able to get something passed both the Senate and the House and the conference committee in order to make it a law.
Yvonne?
Do you think that the minimum wage should be tied to inflation? Hikes in the minimum wage?
Not Detroit's inflation, but it's not a bad thing. The CPI, Consumer Price Index, it's not a bad thing. I think the only issue with that is if it's based on a certain area, then it's not uniform across the state. So I'm not sure that's the appropriate thing.
Well, statewide rate of inflation, would that
statewide
be acceptable?
Statewide would be much better than if it targeted. And I think one version targeted Detroit CPI for some reason. So...
Yvonne?
Also happening today is a tour by Representative Upton and the Allied
came
paper
from
site.
There.
Yes, I know you did just come from there. I'm wondering what you see as the best possible solution for the former Allied paper
site.
Well,
there's only one solution. That's to clean it up and get it out of there. That's my opinion. I live in that neighborhood. Well, I live close to that neighborhood. Grew up in that neighborhood. What the EPA has to understand is there is that's the only issue that this community really is throwing its arms around. But what they also have to understand is without cleanup, it makes that piece of property for the future totally useless. And we need to get that property back into use and hopefully back on the tax rolls, not just a park or something, but back on the tax rolls. And given the time to produce that plan, over the next few months is, I think, what the EPA is waiting for. They've never cleaned a site up yet before. They've capped every site that they've started along the Kalamazoo River Basin that where they use for a landfill. They've capped them all. They've never totally cleaned one up and hauled it out. So I think we're one step closer than any other community ever has gotten probably. But I still think that there's a lot to be said for finding what that usage of that property is going to be in the future other than just a trail or a bikeway. I think it can be put back to good use and put back on the tax rolls. And that's what the city of Kalamazoo needs.
So do you think that coming up with some sort of a plan, a plan to use that property is part of the lobbying effort with the federal government to say, look, this is what we want to do with this if it's totally cleaned up?
I do. I've said that for the last 6 months and addressed the EPA in that manner. If you do not clean that site up and let us repurpose that site, then you're taking something away from the city of Kalamazoo and the community as a whole that could be very usable. So it's kind of But they've got to have a plan. You understand the EPA's drive source is to clean things up and to make it safe. They're not worried about economic development. They're worried about making that site safe. And if they think the best way to make it safe is to cap it and leave it there, then that's going to be their final decision. And we're going to have to show that they're wrong, that it can be even better if they clean it up and get it out of there.
Okay. You mentioned infrastructure and road funding before. What would be the Dave Buskirk plan for long-term funding of Michigan roads, and how do you get the money?
Okay. You get the money through taxes. That's the only way you get the money. And I'll answer you right now. Am I in favor of a gas tax hike in order to better our roads? Yes, if we sit down and work through it step by step and not do what I consider ill-conceived, quick legislation and policy in order to get things done. This last bill that came out of the Senate, I believe, was a 10-bill package in order to get road funding restructured to a point where it would be about half enough money to fix our roads and keep them up. Why? Because for every action, there's a reaction. If you're spending 6%, if there's a 6% sales tax on gas that goes into education, which there is now, then they need to do something different than just throw another tax at the cars, at the gas tax, in order to make it feasible, because they're going to affect other things. Everything they do affects something else, and most people don't even realize it. You know, there's a 6% wholesale tax on fuel that goes to the schools. It has nothing to do with the roads.
So should that be changed? Gas tax money goes to roads?
Exactly.
But then we
got to fund the difference. That's where you have to sit down and each silo, you know, if they're connected now because of bad legislation in the past, where somebody reached in and grabbed something here to help this out over here. I know the legislators probably thought they were doing a good thing, putting a tax on gas to run the schools. But in effect, now, as you go to change your gas tax structure, your infrastructure funding, now you're going to affect the school funding too. So they should, in my opinion, they should be separate, but it's going to take a lot to get there. And we're going to have to sit down. And that's why where I come from is we have to sit down and work together on this. We can't just be divisive in Lansing all the time. You got to be able to cross over there and figure out what it is they really want and build a relationship and try and get the consensus built that it takes to get that done. I just think it's bizarre that it takes 10 bills to get road funding done.
But what you're talking about is a pretty complex restructuring of Michigan taxes, which sounds like it's going to take quite a while to get done. And roads are crumbling as we speak right now, and people are driving over potholes right now as we're talking. So I guess I'm wondering, is there a short-term solution that addresses some of this while you work on that longer-term solution?
I think they've got the short-term solution in front of them right now, probably, without being able to digest each of the 10 bills. And I know the House's version is quite a bit different than the Senate's version. One eliminates gas tax altogether, the law that established them, and starts over from scratch with a percentage. And the other one's kind of a combination. Okay, we're going to take some extra funding here and here and here, and then we're going to raise the gas tax, and then we're going to tax new titles to their full when you buy a car. And I think one of the things that needs to be done, too, as we look at this, is to get it rolling, even if it's at, you know, if we take $2 billion, if we can get $750 million at it right now and get started, because next winter's coming real quick here, and it's going to be bad again next winter, probably. But the issue being is you cannot solve all of it all at once. You're absolutely right, because of the complexity of the infrastructure and how it's funded right now. I think you're going to see a lot of different ideas. I'm not sure it's going to get House to Senate without going back to conference committee. I think it probably will.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dave Buskirk, who's also a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 60th House District. Also here is Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette. Yvonne?
The primary coming up is obviously a contested one. You've got a little bit of a crowd at the ballot.
There's a lot of those going on right now.
No, there are. But I'm wondering, what for voters, what sets you apart from your opponents?
Well, I think, you know, I'm gonna turn this around. I brought a little show and tell piece here. You know,
great for radio.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the both of you can see it. We started this campaign over 300 days ago. a long time ago, when it was apparent to me that probably this House seat was going to be an open seat. And I felt, along with my wife and my team of supporters, that I offered something a little more unique and a little different. One is my experience and my leadership capabilities within this community allows me to have built relationships that allows me to sit down with different people at different places and come and try and build consensus. I think we've done that over the year. I think one of the things that I pledged to do, and I've got to, we signed this pledge on April 16th when I filed my paperwork, that my pledge to the residents of the 60th District to run an open and honest campaign. I'll serve with integrity and use my skills, my leadership skills, to benefit the people of the 60th District and the state of Michigan. And I will be a continuous consensus builder to get things done here in the state of Michigan. It takes a lot more than just getting elected and going to Lansing to represent the people that are in your district. And I've always said for 20 years that I'm going to represent them in their best interest, not my best interest. So, and we're proud of the fact that a lot of our support, in fact, the majority of our support comes from right here within this district, as I've represented about a third of the 60th on the county board for 20 years. So,
when people look at political institutions, however, and they're disappointed, a lot of times they want change. They want a fresh start. Mm-hmm. How do you convince people that you can be that fresh start when you have been involved in government and politics for 20 years?
It's a good question. My involvement with government and politics, however, is at the local level, not at the state level. And the atmosphere at the state level, and if you go up, I'm sure both of you have been there before and sat and watched from the gallery, is there's a firm line right in that floor, down the middle of that floor, that people don't cross very often. We need to do that. We've done that here in Kalamazoo, and we've been very proud of the fact that the people like the way we do business in Kalamazoo County. We depoliticized the process. I was part of the process that formed the leadership team between the two parties here in Kalamazoo, not of one or of the other party majority, but between the two parties, so that both parties are at the table all the time, setting agendas, talking about real issues, and talking about how you solve those issues together. That's something that's been missing. That's what's different about Dave. That's what's different when they send me to Lansing in January is going to happen. I'm going to be working together with both parties, maybe even a third party if there is one, to get things done, to be able to say, you know, it's term limits have turned this into a rushed legislature. In other words, you get a couple, 3 years to learn the ropes and build relationships. Then you're running for office again for your last term. And if you want to do legislation, a lot of them, I think, are well-intended legislation, but it's rushed. It's based on not fact and good policy. It's based on we just got to get something done because we only get 6 years here. I've got 20 years, and my 6 years are going to be a long 6 years because I know exactly what it is that gets things done when you have two different parties. It's about relationship building and working together, whether it's to invest in the roads, to bolster your education funding. There's one that improve college affordability and also improve affordability to those who won't go to college, but perhaps will go to a trade school like I did. And then that ever popular one, you know, and we have to do this. We have to take care of our poor. We have to figure out ways to keep the safety nets in place and so they have an opportunity to lift up, in other words, to step up to the plate when they need to. Our housing program that we established in Kalamazoo County is a good example of that. It's not a handout, it's a hand up is what it is.
Yvonne?
You've mentioned education funding. What would you, you know, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see happen to education funding? I'm interested in both K-12, preschool, higher ed. Right. I mean, what do you think needs to happen?
Well, it's again, it goes back to funding and responsibilities of where those funds come from and the pots of money that they get their funding from. I mean, they all three get them from different places. Pre-K, I think last year was fully funded is for this area. K through 12, you know, as the cuts to education took place, have taken place over the last few years, what's happened is the state, even though they're sending the money back here, they're shifting the responsibility of the legacy costs and everything to local school boards and our local areas. Thus, the dollars don't get to the classroom, okay? The dollars are spent taking care of costs that should be taken care of probably by the state on the lead end so we can put the dollars back into the classroom locally. I've said there's a the core curriculum, the core merit curriculum that's out there right now is a start, but it's got to leave enough flexibility for the local boards and local teachers to input into the classroom what they need. It cookie cutter approaches don't work. Everybody's different. You know, every blade of grass has a different DNA, and every child, every student, every adult that wants to go back to school is different. So the programs can't be cut and dried established, I think, the curriculum. I think there has to be enough flexibility to allow, whether it's preschool, whether it's K through 12, or whether it's higher ed. Now, they all get their money from different places. Higher ed gets it from the general fund. Every time the general fund gets a ding, higher ed gets a ding, and they're forced to raise their tuition to cover those costs. So that gap gets bigger and bigger all the time between what it is it actually costs and what it is the students can pay and what they get back from the state. So I just think that it's an opportunity to be able to say, you know, if we're going to raise funding and we're going to do funding for education and leave it at education, just like the gas tax issue. If we're going to raise funds for the roads, leave it there. Don't take money away from it. I was with a meeting last week where we said we need our roads fixed, and Fred Upton said, yeah, we do. But our trust fund, the highway trust fund's at zero. And well, why is it at zero? Because they've taken money out of it over the years and used it for something it wasn't supposed to be used for. Trust funds are entrusted to whatever it is you place them there for. So,
you've mentioned a couple times the idea of skilled trades, and
right,
most people acknowledge that we have a gap in the number of people who have the skills to do those sort of things that are pretty good paying jobs and jobs that you can't really move overseas,
right,
because they've got to be done here. But what can the state actually do to try and foster that, could try to encourage more people to pursue that rather than thinking that a four-year university degree is the only way to go?
Right. Well, first of all, we have to establish the fact that these are jobs that are good-paying jobs. Okay, we know that. I've been through one. I've retired 45 years in the electrical trade, IBW electrician. So I know they're good-paying jobs. But we've done something locally here that's even better than that and that the state can look at. And we partnered, our union partnered with Kalamazoo Promise. And we are the first, the electricians were the first ones now to, students can qualify for the Promise in our trade school program now. Now, understand, they have to still qualify through the schools and through our admission programs. But I think they can build a coalition statewide that says, okay, you know, we need more scholarships for these trade schools. They're not, the scholarships for trade schools are much less expensive than going to for your master's degree at a higher education institute of learning, and they actually are pretty darn good paying jobs. So I think an effort to just educate the public that these jobs are out there and we need those jobs, and then put some money into them, and like we did here locally with building trades, and I think you're going to see more and more of that happen.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Buskirk. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 60th State House District and a longtime Kalamazoo County Commissioner. Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette is also here. Yvonne?
When it comes to, you're talking about working across the aisle and building consensus, this is obviously not something specific to Michigan. It appears to be a national issue.
Yeah.
In terms of polarization. How does one person affect that kind of change that you're talking about?
Well, you're looking at one who affected the change here in the county. So I think if you take the feeling that you can make a difference, that you do make a difference with either your leadership skills or your experience and your integrity, if you can make a difference to one more person in Lansing and they make a difference to each one, makes one more difference, it doesn't take long to understand that this is consensus building, and it is good to do that. Your values, you don't have to sacrifice your values to do it. I won't. I won't sacrifice my organized labor values or my Democratic values to do it. I'll still be a progressive Democrat. But in order to invest in the public goods that we need investment in, the infrastructure, the education, and our skills training, we need to be able to work together and figure out a way through that. So one person can make a difference. He makes a difference with one other person, And then they each make a difference. And pretty soon it gets kind of contagious, you know, that, hey, I want to sit down with those people because they get things done. They don't just go up there and talk about it. They get things done, irregardless of whether you're in the majority or minority.
The gentleman who has the job that you would like to have voters elect you to in November, Sean McCann, has proposed legislation to change the way that the district boundaries are drawn here in Michigan. He says this is part of what's creating the atmosphere in Lansing, that it's they're all pretty safe seats when it comes to the general election. The question is, can you get through a primary?
Right.
Do you agree with him? I think we need to look at that.
I've sat in on several reapportionment committee meetings over the years here at the county level, and we don't have anything to do with it. There's a committee that does that. But I think if it was done by a citizens committee, as Sean is suggesting, I like that. And I'll tell you why. Because I sat on a local officers' compensation commission for the city of Kalamazoo back in 93. And that's where the citizens decide what you pay your city commissioners. And there's a reason for that, okay? In an election year, what politician's going to vote himself or herself a pay raise? So, but it's more about getting the citizenship involved with it. And I don't have a bit of problem with it. There's definitely, when you look at some of the districts, and Sean's got some pretty astounding maps that show you, and you say, holy smokes, yeah, there is gerrymandering going on. We know that. The city of Kalamazoo, you know, it's where they form a district and say, okay, we either go after it or write it off, one of the two. And that's the way it's been done over the last 20 years, probably. So, yeah, I definitely think that we can look at something a little fairer and a little less contentious. Is that the whole problem? No, I don't think that's the whole problem. I think it's a divisive nature in the three-term slash quick. That's all you get, 6 years, and you're done and out. So.
But under the current map, the 60th State House District is a very safe Democratic
seat.
In the general election,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I guess when you're making this pitch that you can work across the aisle, how do you convince that Democrat who's going to be voting in August, who says, hey, look, we can send any Democrat we want up there? Why do we send Dave Buskirk, who's talking about conciliation and trying to get along and all those sort of things, as opposed to, and I'm not saying that the other candidates are necessarily,
right,
you know, throwing flames or anything, but they may be looking at someone and think that they're perhaps a more of a troublemaker or something like that, and that maybe they're not in the mood to reach across the aisle, knowing that they can send a Democrat up there, any sort of Democrat up there.
You know, we've talked to a lot of voters in the last 200 days, and they are ready for people to go to Lansing and work hard for them, regardless of what it takes. I think if you'll listen back to a couple of people that have endorsed me, former State Rep Mary Brown and Ed LaForge, both have said the same thing. It's time to take consensus building to Lansing. And if you go back and look at the history of this seat, it demands, one, that you've participated in government over a few years before you get to go to Lansing, okay? Two, it's what Howard Wolpe, it's what a lot of the people have done. The late Robert Jones worked hard to work together with people to get things accomplished. And you can do it without sacrificing your values. So if you can take your same value structure to Lansing with you, get things done on that matter, and still get other things accomplished, then why wouldn't you want to send somebody that works together with people good?
Okay, down to just a couple minutes. Let me ask you about a couple of social issues. The Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, should that be amended to include protections for gay, bisexual, lesbian,
Absolutely.
Transgender people? Would you go a step further than that and support an attempt to repeal the amendment to the state constitution that bans same-sex marriage?
Yeah, I would, yes, personally. I will tell you, as a I don't like tinkering with the Constitution. You know, Proposal 2 last time from organized labor was a disaster. So, but I will tell you that my wife and I, along with the late Terry Kozeski and several other people, worked hard on the one Kalamazoo issue here in Kalamazoo a few years back. We were on the founding steering committee. We developed the language for the ballot issue and got it on the street. Absolutely. Kalamazoo County government, I was there when we were the first ones to pass the GLBT issues into our employment policies, as we cannot pass laws and ordinances, but we can put them in our employment policies. The ban on gay marriage is an insult to human beings, in my opinion.
Would you favor anything to decriminalize marijuana in the state?
You know, I don't know that much about that issue right now, but I do know there's some benefits to the medical marijuana. Decriminalizing it, I think, in a city, you know, we can't just keep filling our jail cells up with guys and gals who want to smoke a little marijuana on the weekends. But if it does lead to harder drugs and usage, and it's proven that sometimes it does, then we need to figure out how to help the people, how not just to criminalize it, but sometimes decriminalizing it helps people in their issues when they're using drugs like that too. So there's, you know, I think it's a 50-50 thing. I really do. I know being on the county board, we've had an awful lot of people sitting in our jails that all they did was smoke a joint on a weekend and got caught doing it. So,
okay, as I said, we're kind of at the end here. So yeah. I'm going to ask for a brief answer, even though this may be tough for you to give a brief answer on. But since you mentioned,
yes or no are easy.
Sometimes, you did mention proposal two from the last election. So if you are elected to the state house, how much energy, time, and effort would you want to put into repealing the right to work law?
I will put in whatever energy is necessary, providing there's support there to do it. I think there is support to do it. I think the right to work law was passed perhaps illegally in a closed session. It was rushed. However, I will tell you real simply that it didn't need to be. If people would have paid attention about Proposal 2, the right to work law probably wouldn't even be on the books right now.
If Proposal 2 had passed.
If Proposal 2 hadn't even been on the
ballot. Or hadn't been on the ballot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're gonna go up and work together with people and make concessions with people, you have to hold to those concessions all the way through the discussions.
Dave Buskirk, thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dave Buskirk is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 60th State House District. He's also a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. And we also want to thank Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Gordon.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.